Welcome to 45 Left to Right Podcast, Episode 11, The Mental Load of Mothers. Today we're going to talk about the mental load of mothers, which is really all that we manage for our partners, kids, our extended families, and ourselves, which usually gets put on the back burner. Today, in fact, while I'm recording, Devin is sick. So if you hear some coughing in the background, that is him. I am recording from my kitchen table. I'm going to start with a story as usual. An Army helicopter cockpit is a busy place. To set the scene, Army helicopters always have two pilots because there's usually a lot going on and you can't do it all alone. To be 100% clear, I never flew in combat. I did something else in Iraq, and I will slowly unveil that throughout this podcast. So I'm going to give you an idea of what it is like to be on a training mission. I was stationed at Fort Drum, New York, for most of my time in the Army with what was then the 1st Battalion Attack 10th Aviation Brigade. I flew the OH-58 Delta Kiowa Warrior helicopter, which was used for reconnaissance and attack missions. Basically, find the enemy, report back to whoever we were supporting, and nicely and politely said, suppress them. Sounds simple, right? I remember the most overwhelmed I ever felt in the helicopter was when we were doing a live fire exercise with an infantry unit. Now, an infantry unit, those are the guys on the ground. They are the ones that you usually see in the war movies that are in direct combat with the enemy. This infantry unit was training for their mission, which I think was something like an ambush of an enemy compound, something like that. And then the scenario was that they would eventually get attacked and we would have to help them out. Usually in the Army, these training missions are really realistic. Bad guys, real buildings that they can attack and search and blow up. I was a captain at the time and acting as the air mission commander for, I think it was 4 other helicopters, including my own. Obviously, this was 2004. I don't remember all of the details, but these were all the things that I had to manage mostly at the same time. The movements of each individual helicopter, as well as how we were moving as a unit of 4. You know, that helicopter is moving over there to look for enemy activity. I'm going to stay over here to provide suppressing fire as needed. That other helicopter is going in the other direction to look for enemy. Repeat, repeat, repeat. I had to handle at least 3 radios in all of the calls, 1 internal radio for the 4 helicopters I was leading, a radio for the infantry unit, who was usually wanting to know where we were, and then the unit above us, which was the battalion, and they had their own commands of what we needed to do. I had to be aware of where the infantry unit was, and then where we would shoot, since we were in the training exercise, but of course not actually shooting them. That was really stressful. At one point, the infantry guys were actually firing their mortars too close to us. So we had to move out of the area, but I had to make sure we were moving in the area we needed to be in. And then I had to coordinate that. And then there is the flying of this $8 million helicopter. Now, I had, of course, the best help in the world. My warrant officers were incredible, so trained, so skilled, and I had full faith in them to know what to do without a doubt. While I was running the radios and the mission, I had a very experienced warrant officer flying and firing the 50 cal machine gun. But ultimately, I was the one who was responsible if anything went wrong. One helicopter could do something really stupid and it would still be my fault. My heart still beats really fast when I think about this one training mission. I feel very stressed. Lots of, you know, my heart was racing. Actually, my heart is racing now. Just lots of tension in your body, your brain's swirling and twirling with making sure you were doing everything you were supposed to do. It's super stressful. Now, I never expected to feel that kind of stress again, because look at the consequences if I messed up in this training mission. Could have shot somebody. We could have collided with each other. I mean, just disastrous. And though I'm not shooting real ammunition in the area of people, like I was on this mission, I often feel this level of stress just in my daily life. It is a sustained stress. And I'm thinking mostly about Christmas and Maycember in particular. If you have never heard the term Maycember, you are most likely not a mom or are so busy you haven't had a second to browse social media. It's all over social media. That is where I learned the term. Maycember is the time of year when everything comes to a head, and it is just as busy, if not busier, as Christmas. The school year is ending, so there are those big final projects that your kid was supposed to be doing all year but hasn't done a thing. End of year sports tournaments, banquets, extra practices, band concerts, Mother's Day, booking summer camps, your own work things, and on and on. I hadn't heard the term until last year when I was in an outright end of school year war. Devin's fifth grade promotion, welcome to middle school orientations, registering for middle school, baseball tournaments, a trip across North Carolina for a memorial for my husband's mom, grandmother, and dad. So that was a really emotional time as well. Recorder concerts, just madness. And our kids feel it too. Devin demonstrates his stress by epic meltdowns at baseball. Last year, his team lost in the tournament and he sobbed uncontrollably. Now, he does usually take baseball losses to heart and very hard, but this was just an uncontrollable release of emotions. I mean, poor kid. This podcast episode, we're going to talk about the mental load mothers have, not just in these really busy times of year, but all of the time. Now, men, if I haven't lost you so far, next month is yours. Don't fast forward or skip this episode, though, because you need to know what the women in your life are doing. Maybe you could help. Welcome back to 45 Left or Right Podcast. This is part two, which usually is all about research. And I definitely am going to have some research for you about mental load, but I also asked several of my friends to record what their mental load is right now, and wow, did they deliver. I'm going to be sharing their input throughout the episode. So to start things off, since my podcast audience is familiar with Nicole from my episode Play Ball, I want to share her clip first. Now, just to remind those who listened to that episode, Nicole is married. She is an elementary school teacher. She has two boys who play sports and one of whom plays travel baseball, which requires a lot of coordination. So I'm going to share with you her clip right now.
So when we're talking about my mental load for a week, I'm not even going to call it a week. I'm just going to say for this upcoming next few days. Currently, I'm planning a list for groceries. I'm planning what those groceries look like for the upcoming tournament because I need to make sure that we have food when we're there so we don't have to go out. And that also includes like meal prepping for next week's lunches. And then when we're thinking about tournaments, I start thinking, okay, are all the uniforms clean? Is everything ready? Do we have like the correct socks? Which socks are we even wearing? Which uniform are we wearing? Do we have that belt? Where did that belt go? And then we start thinking about the planning of who's taking which kid to what practice or event or game. Is it something I need to ask my dad to do, or is it something that my husband and I can handle? Then I just start thinking about, okay, well, when am I going to fit in the normal stuff, dishes, laundry, cleaning, just for the house? And then after I hopefully get through some of that, I start thinking about school, so work stuff. We're state testing, so then I have to plan around state testing. What are my kids going to be able to accomplish that day? Are they going to be in the right frame of mind? Are they even going to want to do anything? So I try to think of like fun things for them to do there. And then we're so close to the end of the year, I have to think of all the end of the year activities. What am I going to do to make it fun for the end of the year while still making it educational? And then, you know, this weekend's also Mother's Day, so I have to do something for my own mom. And that's just part of the things I think about on a daily basis.
So this is Maycember, end of school things, Mother's Day, tournaments, and then the day-to-day coordination of meals and laundry and everything else. This is Maycember. So let's go to some research. When I initially thought about what a mental load is, I just thought of the laundry list of things that need to get done in daily, weekly, and monthly life. You know, the grocery shopping, packing the lunches, taking out the garbage, laundry, dropping off the kids at school, picking them up from school, scheduling doctor's appointments, all of the household stuff, plus your own stuff with work, your own health. And sometimes your husband or partner's stuff, though in my house, Jeff takes care of all of his things. But there is a whole other component to it all. And I found an article that talks about this. This is an article from the HuffPost. It is called "The Part of a Mom's Mental Load That We Don't Talk About Enough." And this is by Kelsey Borison from March 26, 2024. So in her article, she defines a mental load as this. The mental load is defined as the invisible work of running a household and managing a family. Personally, these are some of the things that I usually handle. Making the grocery list, cooking dinners, cleaning bathrooms, vacuuming and mopping the floor, all the dog care, reminding Devin to feed and water the dog, cat care, of course, veterinary appointments, when are they necessary, when are they due, scheduling them and taking them there, and then when we're there, making decisions about what to do, sports practices, When are they? Does Devin have the appropriate clothes and equipment? And then taking him to and from, and usually sitting. I like to sit through the practices. So that sort of thing. Speech therapy. When is it? Taking him there and back. Then supervising, making sure he's on track, managing it, making decisions. And then since, you know, I do have a flexible schedule and I work from home, generally the default parent, you know, when schools and doctors and dentists call, you have to make on-the-spot decisions about what needs to be done, you know, scheduling of Devin's appointments, his well checks, his asthma quarterlies, his dental appointments, orthodontist appointments, and then friend visits for him. When is a good day for them to come over? Do I have enough food for very hungry boys? Will the weather be nice enough to kick them outside? That is key. And then just our family's social schedule. You know, when are we going to meet these friends? Can we meet them here? Can we meet them on this day? Does that work? Just some of those sort of things. So what this article brings up that honestly I hadn't really thought about is the emotional burden that women often face as part of their mental load. So here's another quote from this article. But there's one aspect of the mental load that doesn't get talked about enough. And this is according to Renee Rina, a content creator and mother. That's the countless hours moms spend researching parenting stuff to learn the best strategies for helping their kids. She said things like how to manage tantrums, picky eating, potty training, nap schedules, and more. My friend Karen sent me a recording that gives a really good example of this.
Today, my husband has to pick up our son and bring him to group circus pictures at 5:15. He will text me when to meet them at the middle school Chipotle fundraiser for dinner. Boy Scout starts at 6 o'clock tonight, so he'll bring my son to that. Maybe I'll go and then bring him back for circus pictures for his specific circus act at 8 o'clock. I'm still searching for summer day camps to cover some odd days before and after other summer plans. I have to call one of the day camps today because I wasn't able to register online because it says he's too old, even though he's under 20. I hope my husband and I can figure out drop-offs and pick-offs for those odd hours. I don't know what I'm going to do if my son is home all day while I'm working from home, but I don't want to pay for whole weeks. He's barely there for whole weeks. What if I have to go into the office? Mother's Day is this Sunday, and I have to figure out when to call my mom that day since we'll have church, then brunch, then I have a massage, and on the East Coast, and probably will be at my sister's house at some point. It's the first Mother's Day since my mother-in-law passed away. Should we honor her in any way? We should at least call his sister and his dad. My niece birthday is next Tuesday, so maybe I should talk to her on Sunday too, since I may be calling my sister's house to talk with my mom anyway. I hope she likes what I bought her. I forgot to buy a birthday card for my aunt. I need to find something this morning. Tomorrow is at lunchtime. I have to meet with my financial advisor to change an account. I hope it doesn't take my whole lunch break because I'd like to get in my exercise routine and lunch, at least lunch. Next Wednesday is my HOA meeting, which is usually Thursday. We'll go over a tree planting plan, and I really don't want any more trees blocking my view of the mountains. I've got a little time before my workday starts. What can I get done?
I think we can definitely all agree that Karen has a lot to do. But what struck me with her recording is she worries about how to honor her mother-in-law who passed away and if her mom will like her Mother's Day gift. And then, hey, can I get my own self-care in with exercise during lunch? And even, I don't want any more trees to block my view of the mountain. That's something that was bothering her, but she also needs to do something about it. And they have a really pretty view. So I understand that. Another point that this article brings up is that the moms often do the research on parenting, and they might relay the information to their partners. But even in passing this information on to their partners is a burden. Why must moms do all of this themselves when their partners are also very capable, but just not thinking about it, whether that's conscious or unconscious? And I want to be clear, in this episode, I don't want to compare women and their partners who are usually husbands. I don't want to compare them too much because I don't want this to come off as some kind of bitch fest. What I'm talking about here is that women generally carry a lot of the work and a lot of the mental and emotional burden. The goal is not to take away from what men do, but just to acknowledge what women do. And just because someone does something really well, that doesn't take away from someone else. You know, it's not an us versus them kind of thing, or at least I don't want to come off that way. For me, my worry is Devin's speech therapy. I do a lot of worrying and I do a lot of research about it. Devin's been in speech therapy of some kind since he was 2. When he was 2, he was speaking, but we could barely understand him. And this is a very cruel circumstance for a kid who really loves to talk. He even talks to himself to process the things around him. He did speech therapy through the school until about the 3rd or 4th grade. And then we started speech therapy outside of school, which has been really great. It's one-to-one therapy. It's 1 hour a week. I take him there. I sit in the room with him and I witness it all. And he puts a lot of work and focus into it. He was doing really well with his speech until, so he had an articulation problem, and he was just about to basically graduate from speech therapy. But I think it was late 4th, early 5th grade, he developed a stutter. And this is when my worrying went into overdrive. I researched why a kid develops a stutter, what to do about it. Will this be lifelong? How will this affect him socially? Was there something in my pregnancy that caused it? Oh my gosh, he's starting middle school. Will kids be brutal? Are we missing something? Are we doing enough for him? More recently, actually within the last couple of weeks, I decided to let Devin do speech therapy with his wonderful speech therapist on his own. You know, he's older now and can focus much better. There are a lot of emotional components to stuttering at his age, and I'm hoping he will open up to her more if I'm not in the room. Not that he doesn't tell me things, but, you know, it's just a different, I wanted to change the dynamic. And I have agonized over this decision, and it is exhausting. The second article is called The Hidden Load, How Thinking of Everything Holds Mums, this is a British, a British article, Holds Mums Back by Melissa Hagenboom. And this is May 18th, 2021. And like I said, this is from the BBC. The experts that she interviewed, they say that all of the hidden work comes in 3 categories that are intertwined. The first is cognitive labor, and that is the practical parts of household responsibilities, the organizing, the planning, the scheduling. Number 2 is the emotional labor, which is what I like to call the emotional management of the family. How to best react when your kid is throwing a tantrum? How is your partner feeling about work? All of that. And number 3 is the mental load, how all of it intersects. And this is one of the quotes from the article. It says, "The mental load is the intersection of the two, preparing, organizing, and anticipating everything, emotional and practical, that needs to get done to make life flow." My friend Kathleen, her recording that she sent to me shows all of this really well. So I want to play that for you.
Hey, Therese. So in response to your request, here's my little audio sample. Narrating a typical day in the life. 15 minutes before my first meeting and I need to prep, but who left an empty cup on the desk? Let me take it to the sink, which is full of dishes, so let me load the dishwasher real quick, which of course needs to be emptied first. Ugh. It's already 7:50. Does the pediatrician open at 8 or 8:30? I need to get the kids scheduled for their physicals. Oh, and I need to remember to ask them to print out Amelia's vaccination records for our new school. Did I turn in all the paperwork for the new school? I hope she likes it there. Is moving her the right decision? Will Asha like it if she goes there someday? No, I forgot I need to buy Asha's birthday donuts and deliver them before lunch. Which reminds me, there's the birthday dinner tomorrow. What am I making? Steak? Do we eat too much red meat? Did the Amazon package with the decorations for the birthday friend party arrive? And what am I feeding them? And why don't people RSVP these days? Or is that no one's coming? Is she going to be disappointed? She's been such a trooper being dragged to all the gymnastics competitions this year. Oh, what time is the meet this Sunday? And weren't they supposed to give her a new leotard to wear? I better call them. Oh, I have a missed call from the after-school program. Probably because my payment card was declined, because 2 months ago my husband tried to be helpful and updated our payment information to a card that isn't active. I'll call her back. Okay, dishwasher loaded. Doorbell's ringing. Amazon to the rescue. But it's not the birthday decorations, it's the packing cubes I ordered for vacation. Oh, vacation. I need to make an itinerary, and I should probably call and make some reservations. And I need to update my packing list, and Asha needs new sandals because her old ones fell apart. Which reminds me, also need to research car seat requirements in Canada. Can I request an Uber with a car seat? The rides to and from the airport are going to be so hectic and crowded with all the summer vacation people. Ugh, summer vacation. 5 more weeks of school. What am I going to do with them all summer? Daycare? Summer camps? Does my FSA cover a summer camp if it's technically daycare? I'd better call them too. At least they're open late. I'll call after dinner. What am I making for dinner? Do the kids eat too much mac and cheese? How much is too much? They eat enough vegetables? I need to add multivitamins to the list. And who's calling me now? Oh, work. Because I haven't even started my day job yet. There you go. I hope that helps. Bye.
I love Kathleen's clip because she covers a lot of different intersections, you know, cognitive. She talks about household duties, her own work duties, scheduling kids, doctor's appointments, birthday coordination, vacation planning and logistics, and then summer camp research. But she also is worried about the emotional. You know, her daughter is starting a new school. Will her daughter like it? Will her younger daughter one day like it or go there? You know, will her younger daughter, Asha, be disappointed if no one shows up to her party? You know, all of that emotional things too. And even just the sort of random things like, do we eat too much red meat? Are they getting enough vegetables? All of those things. I thought that was a great example. So another thing about this article, another expert that was quoted in this article is Allison Damager. She is a doctoral candidate in sociology and social policy at Harvard. Damager found that women were doing most of the work in their households, not a surprise, especially the logistics and just general project management. She identified four stages of mental work, which include 1, anticipating needs. 2, identifying options. 3, deciding among the options. And 4, monitoring the results. Parents made the decisions together, but women thought ahead to what might be a future issue and then did the research and made the plan and then sort of presented to their partners, all kind of wrapped up. For me, an example would be whether or not Devin will need braces. For the last several years at his dentist appointments, I have asked whether or not he would need braces. I was especially concerned because when I was his age, I had a terrible bite, and eventually I had to have major jaw surgery to fix it. So I was very concerned. I was worried that he might need extensive work done, even if it wasn't surgery, just lots of braces or whatever they do now. When they said that he would need braces, but probably nothing major, I, you know, had to get a referral and ask our friends who they recommended and then decide and make the appointment. I mean, Jeff agreed with me that we should go ahead with it. That's just, you know, that's just how it is. It's not, I'm not bitching about it. This is how it is for us and how it happened. One argument that has been said and that they found in this article is that women are just better at planning, organizing, or multitasking. But in fact, this is a farce. Women are expected to do it more, so they basically become better at it because of that. So I found an interesting article, research conducted by the Cleveland Clinic, and it's entitled "Why Multitasking Doesn't Work," March 9th, 2021. This is fascinating. According to Cynthia Kabu, who is a PhD in neuropsychology and works at the Cleveland Clinic Center for Neurorestoration, she says we are not wired to multitask. Our brains can only focus on one task at a time. She says, when we're multitasking, most often we aren't really doing individual actions in rapid succession or task switching. In fact, only 2.5% of people are able to multitask effectively. So right now, as I am preparing this episode, I am listening to some ADHD hyper-focused music while researching and writing the script. Since Devin is to my left on the couch, I am also wondering why he was mopey after school. My dog is to my right, and he seems to be having a gas problem. So I'm wondering if this is just age or if this warrants a trip to the vet. So if part of the script is scattered, I am not of the 2.5%. I think what most women do is juggle. We juggle a lot of things, from the mundane tasks like domestic tasks to more complex things like looking ahead, anticipating the needs of others around us, and also being sensitive to the emotions and needs of others. We absorb these emotions and feelings, and that just adds to the mental load. The Cleveland Clinic research about the multitasking was just an aside. So back to the previous article, which is The Hidden Load, How Thinking of Everything Holds Mums Back. Mothers are doing all of these things, juggling the seen and invisible tasks of a hot household, and that is exhausting. This article points out that women might initially ask for help, but if they have to keep asking, it will come across as nagging. This is according to Daniel Carlson of the University of Utah. He is the Director of Graduate Studies of the Family and Consumer Studies Department in the field of sociology. He is really interesting to me because he teaches at a university with students who are largely Mormon. And, you know, that is a religion that generally reinforces traditional gender roles. He has done a lot of research about domestic roles and a father's participation in raising children, especially during COVID. I didn't look into his research to know much about his ideas on all of it. I just found it really interesting that he was doing that kind of research. I have many friends who find it is much easier to just do it themselves than ask their partners because they get tired of asking if it's been done or they find the task incomplete or not done really very well. Some of this could be a form of weaponized incompetence from their partners, or their partners are not used to looking for implied tasks as part of a general task. Let's say a mother asks their partner to take their child to a new doctor. The literal task would be to pick the child up from school and take them to the appointment. The implied task would be to call to make the appointment and find out what the new doctor needs, to call the old doctor for their records, fill out the paperwork for the new doctor ahead of time, and also know all of the back history for it and just where to find it, and even just make sure the new doctor takes your insurance. And partners. Daniel Carlson also discovered that in relationships with an unequal balance of duties, they have less sex. So it is in your interest to relieve the burden of your partner. One very interesting suggestion that Professor Carlson offers is for women to just do less. He says, it's kind of classic operant conditioning. We're not putting men through mazes or shocking them for food pellets, but it's kind of like, oh, I didn't remember to do this last time and there was a negative consequence. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, men. No, I said it. This wasn't be a bashing. So personally, I have threatened this before, and I might have boycotted certain small tasks, but I would have a very hard time doing this, honestly. If I don't coordinate speech therapy and drive Devin there and do all of the things, then Devin is the one who suffers. I'm not going to do that. I would feel that dreaded, never-ending mom guilt. What would be something smaller, though? What if I didn't cook any dinners for a week? Would we just eat out, or would Jeff take over some cooking? What if I didn't make sure Devin's baseball bag was in the car? Then he couldn't play, and at this point, with the poor participation and attendance of his team, they would have to forfeit. I'm not going to do that. But a counterpoint to this is, if we keep doing all of these things, assuming our partners will not do it, are we selling our partners short? Do we have such low expectations of their capabilities or motivations that we don't give them the opportunity or a number of chances to prove us wrong? Welcome back to 45 Left or Right podcast. I wanted to share, since I asked my friends for examples of their mental load, I'm going to share mine at the moment. Devin has a baseball game tomorrow, so I need to confirm the right uniform and make sure his jersey is clean in particular. I'm so sad. He only has a few games left, and this might be his last season. Speaking of, he has been asked if he wants to do the mountain bike team next year, but he isn't sure. Why isn't he sure? Are some of the kids jerks who have bullied him this year? I need to dig deeper there. I need to make a grocery list for Jeff tomorrow, so I need to look at the calendar to determine if it is a crockpot week or if maybe I could grill some steaks. Mother's Day is Sunday, and I'm going to Palm Springs. Yay! But I need to pack and decide if there is anything I would like to do while I'm there. Jeff and Devin are on their own. I think, should I make them something? We'll see. I need to go to the DMV while I'm there, so I need to make sure I have all of the freaking paperwork, that it is printed out and ready to go. I need to triple check that I have everything because my license is expired. Oops. Hope I don't get pulled over on the way there. Devin has speech on Monday, so I should text his speech therapist to see how our new arrangement is working out. Did Devin really do well at his last session, or was she just saying that because Devin was sitting right there? Devin has his spring band concert on Tuesday, so I need to make sure his clothes are laundered. Does he need some new black shoes? His feet are growing so fast. Does that mean he has a growth spurt coming? He is so sensitive about being small. Am I feeding him enough? Why doesn't he have the appetite of his friends? They could eat us out of the house. Ooh, I need to put chips and soda on the list for when they come over. When can I have them next week? It is usually Tuesday, but he has the band concert, so maybe another day? Thursday? Thursday's Devin's supposed to go to the dentist, but he might go on that field trip. So I might need to reschedule. Hopefully we won't have to wait another 6 months. I don't know why he is hesitant to go to that science fair in LA. He usually loves that stuff. Does he not want to be viewed as a nerd, or is he just tired? Tired. Aren't we all tired? I could have gone on and on here. Some of this just might be my own anxiety going, but a lot of it is just what I take care of during the week, and then as a mother, what I worry about. Maybe the only person connected to your child for months facilitates this emotional sensitivity that no one else can do. Or maybe we need to spark some activation in our partners to tune in. The question is, do we do this by boycotting things? Do we have a serious conversation with our partners about these burdens that we feel? Do we keep doing all of the things and then complain about them to our friends over text, coffee, or brunch? My helicopter cockpit stress was usually over within a day, and since I had to worry about our three dogs and Jeff at the time, and that was it, I would leave work and go home with a pretty free brain. I would analyze what I could have improved on during my drive, and then relayed everything to Jeff when I got home, but the stress was generally over soon. As mothers, though, the circus in our heads is ongoing. It is all of the time. It wakes us up at 2 a.m. and it prevents us from falling back asleep. Welcome back to 45 Left or Right Podcast. I'm going to share two clips back to back, my friend Laura first and my friend Jessica second. Laura and Jessica are both university professors, so not only do they have the logistics of their families to manage, but they also have research to coordinate.
My mental load. I got 3 projects on the go at work. Which one of them can go dormant next week with the least disastrous consequences? I need to book flights for upcoming work travel. I need to book flights for the family for an upcoming wedding. This weekend I need to do laundry, meal planning, groceries, meal prep to set up for next week. Confirm with painters when they're finally coming to finish covering up the leaks from the plumbing disaster. Check in on mom and change her doctor's appointment. Finalize the gifts for Mother's Day for the grannies. And check on the boys' rent.
Okay, what is my mental load right now? Well, I'm thinking a lot about summer travel plans, which we have been putting off and putting off. Going to a family reunion. What are we going to do for our kid in terms of camp and things like that? Today is Sunday, and so I'm doing laundry, changing the sheets, watering the plants. I'm thinking about our yard, which really needs some work, and I just don't have time to work on it. My 11-year-old has a float that he needs to make for his state project, a small box with a bunch of stuff on it, and he keeps saying, "We need to work on this, Mommy." work right now is so busy. I'm a chair of my department, and so this is the end of the semester, and so there's so many events, and I have to go to every single one of them. I also was invited to go give a talk at another university on some of my research, and so I'm frantically trying to finish writing that. That's happening in a week or two. And then, of course, today is Mother's Day, and so there's a part of me that feels guilty about the fact that I'm not relaxing more. I need to be spending some time just for myself. That's just a small snapshot of what's on my mind right now. All right. Thanks, Therese. Thanks for your awesome podcast.
So what do we do then about relieving the mental load that we always carry? I do not think an outright boycott of all of these things would make anyone happy. Definitely not our families and not us either. Even if I boycotted making dinner for a week, I wouldn't feel good about it. I would feel like I was letting down my family. I have a great partner in Jeff, so I know I need to let him help me more. To say, "Well, you need to find something that works for you," would be dismissive and honestly would just add to your mental load. Just another thing to add to the checklist. I think we can all cut some of the obligations if possible. I have a few friends who have taught me how to do that. They'll say, "Hey, I just don't have the mental space to have coffee today." And I respect that. And I have learned from that. We can say no. And we even say why we feel that way. Does it matter if Devin's white baseball pants are pristine? No. Does it matter if we have takeout 3 or 4 times this week? Not really. Will the earth implode if my floors aren't mopped on Saturday? No. And if it does, my floors will be dirty anyway. So moms, be kind to yourselves. Let's make it through May-cember sane and cut back on anything that you can. The band teacher might want black shoes, but that just might not happen. Say no to any fundraiser that isn't necessary. no chocolate bars, no raffle tickets, no spaghetti dinners. We are halfway through. We've got this. Thank you so much for listening to 45 Left to Right podcast this week in particular. I hope this episode resonated with some of you. If there are any blips or errors of any kind of in this episode in particular, well, it is Maycember. What can I tell you? A few of you have asked me how to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, and I am very appreciative of that. On Spotify, if you go to the main page for the podcast, up at the very top, under the main title and logo, there is a follow button. So click on that. That would help me. Move right, and there are these three vertical dots. Click those. And the second option down will say rate show. I know you'll give me 5 stars. Unfortunately, I don't think you can actually make comments on Spotify. On Apple, I'm really not sure. I'm not part of the cult, and I can't even get Apple Podcasts on my phone, even though I am a podcaster. So you'll have to check that out for yourself. And then on YouTube, I am on YouTube now, just the podcast. It is easy to find that, and it is very easy to comment and give me like a thumbs up. So please check that out, even if you don't listen to it on YouTube. And then social media, I'm really trying to build that up, which is very frustrating for someone who's 45 years old. So on social media, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, sort of on TikTok, I'm on Twitter and YouTube, like I talked about. And pretty much all of my information is 45 Left or Right Podcast or 45 Left or Right. So if you can find me there, that would help me also. I'm just trying to promote it as much as I can. And with the help of my friends and family, I think I can do that. So thank you so much, and bye for now.